This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show.
Jaguars Scoreboard Show.
JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
This is the Scoreboard Show. Jags fall to the Dolphins 27-13. Phone lines are open. I'm sure there'll be some interesting calls today. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Miami 4-3, Jags fall to 1-7. Blake Bortles, a couple of interceptions, returned for touchdowns. He fumbled the ball away another time. Quarterback play will be a topic, I'm sure. Jags defense strong again, but just not strong enough. Just another couple of things here or there could have done. But how much more can you ask from this defensive unit? Two starters out, three main contributors out. A tough day for this Jags unit all around.
You can only push him so far, I think. When you look at the guys that were out and the way they dominated that first half, at some point, not only do you need help, you need to not be hurt by what's going on with the offense. The offense today hurt you. I mean, it put points on the board directly. The 81-yard pick six, obviously, coming out of the second half, you hand him a touchdown right there. That's the crippler. As Fred said, that was the heartbreaker because, you know, we're sitting here, JP, we're watching this game, we're saying, man, you know what, for all this that's going on.
Score away.
It's very similar to last week where the offense did nothing in the first half, and if you can come out and they get a stop of Miami, it was a little different instead of having the ball first, and it just didn't happen. And you knew at that point, the way the offense was going today, 14-point lead was going to be tough to overcome.
On the ground today, boy, Denard Robinson was good. 18 carries, 108 yards. Bortles had 6 carries, 48 yards, including a 32-yard scamper in the game. Gerhardt, 4 for 10 today. Todman, 2 for 10 on the ground. So the running game's there, 176 yards. It seems like it's there.
Well, I think it was there with Denard. You know, no question about it. Look, he's not going to run for positive yardage every single time, but he had the long run. You got no points out of that first one. I think that really set the tone, too, the special teams today. We thought Miami might be susceptible because they'd had issues with special teams. It was the Jags special teams. The field goal game was just a mystery the first half. The third block for Scobie this year. Then he misses one, gets another chance with a penalty. But you wonder where the confidence level is with the coaching staff starting to get a little bit more aggressive at fourth and short. They're going to go for it, and who can really blame them?
Yeah, because it hasn't been proven that it's a reliable source of points yet. You know, I mean, if you're going to be that backed up, you got to at least – is it a better chance to kick the field goal, maybe get it blocked or miss, than it is to go for it?
Well, you know, and you've got to capitalize. Jags had 4 drives, I think, in the first half alone that went into Miami territory. Yeah. Meanwhile, Miami, until the last drive of the first half, had nothing. First downs whatsoever. They didn't get one until less than 4 minutes remaining in the first half and ended up with 56 yards for the entire half, one of the worst in team history. So, again, once that pick six occurred early in the third quarter, the dam kind of broke a little bit. And even then, though, Jags defense has Miami backed up on the goal line, and it was a terrific job by Mike Wallace to catch a ball over his shoulder and keep a knee in. Wasn't able to get both feet down, but it doesn't matter, stay in bounds. And that flip field position, I think that really, at that point, boy, if you hold him back there, even though the offense isn't doing much, you're going to get the ball again right around midfield, and maybe, just maybe, you find a way to punch that in, make it a one-score game. Mm. Didn't happen. So, do you want to get in today? We know you do. 355-NFL1, 6351, and 800-355-NFL1 outside the 904 area code right here. Last week, it was all happy. It was a completely happy, for the most part.
Well, yeah.
A couple of questions
for the most part,
about play calling.
Yeah, and that that's going to happen win or loss.
We're going to get a few play calling questions, I'm sure, today as well. So, if you want to get in, that's the way to do it. Let's start with a call on the South side with Saqib up first today on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Saqib. Yeah. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm disappointed, man. You know, I thought this kid was going to have a bounce back game after what happened last week, and it's disappointing to see that he keeps having the same mistakes that he keeps doing. And he said he's going to work on it, But obviously they're not working on it. They need to give him these little shorter passes, maybe 5-10 yards instead of going down low like that, what they're doing. It's disappointing. I just hope when they go to Cincinnati, they just get it turned around. I just want to see 0 interceptions for one game. That's all I want to see.
Oh, boy. Where do I start on this one? I mean, you don't want to take chances now. You want to throw short because he's thrown too many interceptions. But then, how are you going to get touchdowns not throwing the ball down the field? These guys are going to make plays and go 60 yards on their own? I mean, you can't have it both ways.
It goes back and forth on this particular issue. But I'll say this about Blake. There's nothing wrong with taking shots down the field. They took shots down the field, okay? You got to throw. You got to be smart about the first interception. He is rolling left and never squares up his body. He throws across his body, and I don't know if he doesn't see the guy, if he thinks he can fit it into a tight window. But Delmas is right there, stepping in front. It's like he was throwing to him almost. I mean, that's the kind of mistake. You can live with mistakes of aggression down the field. That one in that situation, again, you're getting into field goal range. You can't have those crippling. I'm not trying to make Blake go into a shell. I don't want him checking down 5-yard passes all the time. That's the complaint about Chad Henne that we heard. Let's get in there. Let's take shots down the field. So you really can't win sometimes in situations like this. But regardless of whether they're taking shots down the field or being conservative with it, he's got to make better decisions with the football. That was a pretty bad one. The second one was pretty bad as well. The first one bothered me more because it just seemed like he was trying to do too much on a play that wasn't there.
I think we all don't want to see interceptions. I mean, that's pretty obvious. But
no one does.
But they're going to happen. And Jed Fish said it this week. They're going to happen this year. They're going to happen next year. They're going to happen this whole career. Interceptions sometimes. But when the interceptions are as tough as they were today, as egregious as they were today, to be quite honest with you, that's a little different. They're going to happen. Those will get weeded out. Interceptions are going to happen every year of his career. It's just a matter of paring those down.
I hope that he threw that one thinking he could squeeze a ball
right.
in. And
we
want to
see his mindset.
Mindset? I'm okay with if you didn't see the defender, that's more worrisome because you got to be able to see that guy cutting in front of your primary receiver on that play. But, look, you don't want to beat a quarterback down as a rookie and get him in the mentality of 5-yard safe pass, safe pass, safe pass, safe pass. That's not how you win in the National Football
League. I was about to say, that seems like the mindset of the last regime here with the former head coaches. Check down city, check down, check down. We don't need to go back to that, I don't think. And the only way to avoid interceptions altogether is just run all the time. You got to throw the ball, man.
No, they got to look. You got to let this guy take his lumps. There's no question about it. But at some point, we say, oh, he's going to learn from this. You got to show us the learning process. And those are some bad decisions that he made today. As he said after the game, man, I'm killing us. That's what he said. He knows it. He's able to take that weight on his shoulders. But you can't put him in this little shell and say, play within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage.
At some point, they'll start turning the other way.
Absolutely.
You would hope.
Billy on the South Side next up here on the Scoreboard Show. What's going on, Billy?
Hey, guys. Just got a couple of questions I want to ask you, and then I'll take them off the air. Maybe you can address them. First, to me, it looks like Blake Bortles. I know we have to take the good with the bad because he's going to win some games. And he's also going to take some chances as a rookie, and we're going forward. We're not looking back. But to me, it looks like he telegraphs his passes a little too much, especially in those pick six situations today, or at least one of them. So maybe address that. Also, do you think the blocked field goals are more Scobie losing a little confidence, or are they offensive line woes? And then third and last, just what do you see realistically happening in the next couple of weeks at Cincinnati and then technically home in London against Dallas? Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. I'll start with Blake on the telegraphing. I think early in the first few games he played, one of the things that we liked the most about him was his ability to go through his progression, right? He'd look off, and he'd look a safety off. I don't know. It's kind of, if you listen to the game broadcast today, I'm sure everybody did, you hear Logan and Bocelli kind of debating kind of what happened with Blake. Is he losing his mojo a little bit? Our team spending a little more time now getting a little bit of tape on him.
Yeah, that's what Fred said.
And throwing things, confusing
him
a little bit. So I don't know if it's specifically that he's telegraphing all of his passes, because I do think that he's done a pretty good job overall for a young guy of being able to look off his progression. But I'm sure there are times when he's locked in on his receiver And, I mean, that one, the first one, Delmas, I think, was licking his chops from the moment he let that ball go. So, you know, that's just the way it's going to go sometimes. Scobie, it looked to me when he pushed that field goal right, the one he missed, and then it got overturned with the penalty, that one looked a little shaky to me. Because usually Scobie pounds the ball, whether he misses it or not. I can't tell on the blocks from watching it, JP, on the TV. Did he kick it too low? Was there, you know, what was – somebody will have to watch a film and tell me on that.
Well, it makes you wonder because it's not the first time it's happened either. So
right.
There's got to be – is it a trend now?
Right. Is he all of a sudden like kicking the ball low, or is or are they getting pushed back on a certain – you know, it seems like the left side is where – it's getting blocked, or the left side of the offensive line, right side of the defense. I don't know.
Only the tape will tell, I guess.
Right? Oh, look, Cincinnati and Dallas are two very good teams. They're playoff contenders. We've looked, acknowledged this second half of the schedule for a while now. You look at this team, the way it stacks up.
Yeah, how about this? Cincinnati in Cincinnati, Dallas in London, then the bye week, at Indianapolis, they're red hot. Giants at home, Texans at home, and then add Baltimore. I mean, it doesn't – it's not a murderer's row, but it's still a tough schedule.
Yeah, it's absolutely a tough schedule. But, hey, this is big boy football. You got to find a way to win some games.
It's the National Football League, Mike. And when it comes to flavor, go the whole nine yards. Go for Goldfish Crackers. They're tasty, fun treats that come in multiple varieties of deliciousness. So don't drop the ball. Grab the Goldfish. It's the official snack of game day. When we return, more of your calls on the Scoreboard Show, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Reaction after the Jags fall to the Miami Dolphins, 27-13. More after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Scoreboard Show rolls along, 27-13, Miami over Jacksonville, a final in Week 8. Other games in the National Football League in action right now. Late second quarter, Eagles-Cardinals tied at 7. About 6 minutes to play in the first half in Cleveland. The Browns lead the Raiders 6-0. And the Steelers with a 21-10 lead over the Colts. That is midway through the second quarter in Pittsburgh.
All right, let's get back to it. JP, Jags okay. Fall once again. Here in Jacksonville, you were going
to
say?
No, that's good. Let's get back to it.
Let's get back to it, man. Phone lines are loaded up, and yeah. We'll see what folks have to say about it. 355
NFL 1. We're glass half full here, okay?
Are we?
I am.
Okay.
I don't know. Are you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, 1-7. What is the glass half full perspective? That the defense continued to play well, running
playing
game?
Well without two starters in there, three contributors out, and, you know, they held them in the game. You can only hold up for so long, though. Things happen at the end of the game, and
there are definitely positives to look at, all right? But, I mean, I think the big concern right now is your quarterback in a funk? You know, I know it's only 5 starts in his career, but, you know, look, got to go out there and win football games. There's nothing easy coming up on the schedule, and you'd like to capitalize on the momentum you had last week. I think the offense as a whole, the running game better the last 2 weeks, no question about it, but the passing game starting to take a step back right now, and – you know, last week, still the only week that they've gone over 17 points on the season.
Well, okay, in that case, the glasses half empty.
I'm just saying that's the reality of it. Yeah. I mean, I think there's good and bad to be found in this. And, you know, not necessarily dwelling on one side or the other, but I think you got to point it all out.
Okay. Mike's back to his old self.
355 NFL-1, the realist. I'm sorry. Larry in Atlantic Beach, you're up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've used the term several times about pick six. I've never heard it before. What does that mean?
It means you're intercepted and it's run back for a touchdown. I mean, you're picked off. Quarterback gets picked off and he goes for 6 points automatically on that play.
And when it happens that many times, it's bad.
Yeah, and there have been 4 pick sixes this year, which is a lot a lot for that stretch of time that Blake is played quarterback.
There you have it.
You know, so all right.
Let's hope we don't hear the phrase again this year.
Let's go to Steve in Arlington. Let's hope it happens for the Jags defense. We could use a few of those.
That's one thing missing on defense.
Yeah, points on defense.
Points
absolutely.
On defense. That would be something to improve upon, yes.
forcing turnovers, what have you. The sacks were there. I thought the pressure was there. I thought they did a great job, particularly in the first half.
Ryan Davis, man. How about him stepping up?
He was fantastic. And Derek Marks coming in. Batted balls at the line of scrimmage. Guys did a really good job. And really, the play that kind of broke your back defensively was the completion of Mike Wallace over the top. I think it was over the top of Grotz, if I'm not mistaken.
But it took a great catch to do it. Good, the coverage was there.
And really kind of an underthrown ball because I thought Wallace had a step there, and Tannehill almost came up short on that, allowed the pass to be broken up. You know, Hartline bobbled a couple plays today as well. That helped the Jags defense out a little bit. Let's get Stephen Arlington next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Hey, it's Stevie from Ireland.
Hey, what's up, Steve? How are you?
Ireland,
not Arlington.
a little further away.
No, Irish Jag.
What's up, brother?
Not so bad. Listen, I'm ringing to say, like, the reason I'm not too worried about Blake at the moment is because all of the bad stuff has been bad decisions, which is infinitely coachable. It's like, it's not like he's dropping his eyes or he's showing that he can stand up in the pocket and make the plays. It's just the few bad decisions he's making have been horrible decisions, and that can be dealt with.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, you can certainly look, he's got the tools. I think you can, Steve, thank you for the call in all the way from the Emerald Isle, not Arlington. That's a little bit longer. You know, he's probably, as a young guy, realizing there's pressure on this offense. They're not putting points on the board. He's probably putting a little too much pressure on himself, JP, and he's trying to make things happen out there, you know. I'd rather have him make those kind of mistakes, the mistakes of aggression, than the mistakes of being too passive, hanging on to the football, taking sacks. Try to make some plays downfield. You can always rein a guy in as his career goes on. You're going to watch the film with him. You're going to say, look, in this situation, it's about percentages. Don't take the low percentage play when you don't need to. If you're down 14 with 3 minutes to play, you got to make some low percentage plays. Here, you got a situation where it's a scoreless game and you've dominated them yardage-wise, statistically on the field. Don't hand them something to get them on the board early. You know,
I got a tweet just a little while ago, about an hour ago now. A question: how long is number five's leash? He's not. There's no leash. He's running around the yard. That's what he does.
What do they have? 8 games left. It's 8 more games. That's what it is. He's not. He's not coming out.
Leash.
He's the guy.
He's the guy.
He is.
You wanted
the guy.
He's in there.
Right. Look. Could there ever be a situation where you bench your future franchise quarterback who's having a particularly horrible afternoon? It would be for an in-game situation, and it would be a short-term thing. He's not in danger. There's no danger.
He's not losing his job.
He's the guy, and that's what you're going to roll with through the good and the bad. And like Red Bryant said, he said, look, I feel bad for him because he's in a tough spot as a young quarterback and so much is expected of him. I love to hear that from Red because he's not saying, man, I'm frustrated with Blake. He said, hey, I empathize with what's going on here. He's really in a tough spot. Yeah, the defense is playing well. All that's great, but you're expecting a lot out of a guy, again, with two rookies starting on the offensive line whose names we didn't hear much today, which is a good thing.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Sure.
Young receivers who are leading the way in this receiving corps, particularly with Allen Robinson, and a second-year tailback who just a few years ago was a quarterback himself. So, you know, it's a unique situation with how much youth that he has to work with. Stevie, thanks for the call. Look forward to seeing you when we get over your way sooner rather than
sure
later.
He'll be there.
I'm sure he will. Brian in Orange Park, you're next up on the Scoreboard Show. Go ahead, man.
Hey, Mike. Hey, JT. How are y'all?
All right, man.
Good,
what's
thanks.
Up?
Dope. Doing better. I called y'all a few weeks ago, and I was kind of down on the Jags D, but I got to tell you, those guys really, really put their heart into it today, and I just feel so bad for them. And that one catch by Wallace, that was kind of a neck breaker. I just hope that they, you know, really hang in there and stay behind the kid and don't get down. I know they're professional, but like I said, my heart just bleeds for them right now because they were really out there putting it on the line, and it's just a shame what happened. And I'll take comments off the air.
I'll say this, you know, as far as glasses half full, you didn't know who was out today, right? You wouldn't have noticed Popo Zelazny was out. There was no negative effect on the Jags. Did they give up some big plays in the second half? Yeah, the game was kind of getting away from at that point. Again, a little balance here. And I think you'd start to see some W's start to pop up here. And that's where it is. The defense right now is playing the way we hoped and expected them to play at the beginning of the season. Took them a month to get to that point.
But
now that they've gotten there, JP, it's been four games in a row, particularly the last four, and even showed signs the week before that.
And it's good to see that no matter the personnel, they're there too. That the guys who have to come in and step up, you don't hear their names called much, and that's good news. I mean, it's a solid day for a defense that had to fill some holes.
Well, and really that's a solid testament to Dave Caldwell identifying some of these young guys that could come in and not have you miss a beat if they're called on to play.
Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jags. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at J. Roberts Jewelers in Jacksonville and Park Jewelers in Lake Mary. When we return on the Scoreboard Show, more of your calls. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. A lot of disappointment today. 27-13. Dolphins over the Jags. More after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Jags fall to 1-7, 27-13 loss to the Miami Dolphins in Week 8. We'll head to Cincinnati next week to face the Bengals, good team. And then off to London to face the Cowboys, a really good team. So a tough schedule coming up for the Jags. Trying to get things on track, a tough one today offensively, certainly for the Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles. Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. And the phone lines, Mike, are open. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351 if you want to get in.
They're loaded up. And now, let me just say, too, I'm not trying to be glass is half empty here. I'm trying to be a realist here, okay? If they play defensively the way they played the last month, they're going to be in every game. At least for a while. At some point, though, the offense has got to catch up, or the defense has to be asked to do even more than what they're doing and set them up with short fields. That is the missing ingredient. It's great to get the three and outs. Those are fantastic. But force a few turnovers to go with it.
You saw it last week.
Absolutely.
Exactly what happened.
Set
them
when
up
you
inside
get that,
the 20.
Boom. They capitalized on it. You gave them short fields, and they were able to punch it in. Let's go to Kay calling us next on the Scoreboard Show. Kay, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Germany.
Germany. All right. What's up?
All right. Yeah, I've been watching them play the last few weeks, and one of the things that I see they lack is a real, true, deep threat, and teams know that because most of their passes are going to the sideline, and teams are playing that. It's like they don't use the middle of the field. I don't know why. And with the personnel they have, why won't they just go to a West Coast offense? That way the quarterback ain't got to think as much.
All right, well, I mean, for one thing, that's not Jed Fish's offense, right? So, you know, that's not what they brought Blake Bortles in here to run. And I don't think you, after a month or five games or whatever, you just say, it's not working out. We're going to switch things dramatically. I do think there's an issue with having that straight burner that could beat guys down the field. I don't know if Marquise Lee is going to be that guy or not.
We haven't seen him do it yet.
Too soon to tell, right? We saw him do it once in the preseason. We've seen Allen Hurns do it a couple times on double moves. Okay, we've seen Allen Robinson try to get deep, but not really get a whole lot of separation going deep. So, granted, there's not that quote-unquote take the top off the defense guy, but you know, not every team has to have that to move the ball. You know, if you move the today, they had five different guys make 20 or more yard explosive plays for the Jaguar offense, just like last week. They move the ball. They're just bogging down when they get inside the opponent's 40, 35-yard line area.
I'm sitting here watching Pittsburgh Steelers' Antonio Brown. Comes to mind. He just scored a touchdown for the Steelers. There's just not that kind of guy.
They don't have that guy right now.
They do not have
that kind of guy. So there's no question about that. Clay Harbor seemed to, you know, I don't know if the forgotten man is the right word. I don't think he's like the primary read, but he's been a nice safety blanket for Blake over the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. Didn't really hear his name called. Not that he's a stretch the field guy necessarily, but maybe working some of that stuff over the middle. Kay, yeah. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Brad out at the beaches up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Brad.
Gentlemen, appreciate appreciate the time to take the call. D-line, I think they're keeping us in the game. I just want to get your take on that, see if they're over helping us keep it in the game. And a second thing, for a captain positive or a captain roll tide, I think Carson Tinker is to blame a little bit for some of those blocked field goals. I mean, he looks like, I can't tell when he headbutts Josh Scobie, who's Scobie and who's the long snapper. He looks pretty small. I'll take your comments off the air. Thank you, guys.
There you go. Is it bad snaps, Dempsey? I don't know.
Not that I can tell.
It looks like anger gets him down.
Yeah, it looks like the snaps are there. The kicks get off. If the kicks are low, I know Frank Frangie called. He said, "That's a low kick." Very tough for me to tell. What's a, you know, a low kick, or is it just a case of that offensive line is getting pushed back deeper than they should into the backfield, and that's enabling those guys when they get their hands up to be able to block what's been now three of them. You know, so
I don't know. Is it the snappers?
He went right after.
He's a little guy. I'll give him
your Crimson
that.
Tide lineage.
I mean, he's not a huge guy.
I give him credit though. He's
but
right
what about, long snapper is a huge guy?
Is
Jeremy Cain a huge guy?
Probably not.
I don't think he was.
Blank is not a huge guy.
He's not a big guy.
Yeah, no. So that's but the initial point about the defensive line, yeah. The defense, the line, whatever you – the defense collectively has given this team a chance to win for the last month.
Cindric Marks is playing his tail off this year.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about
Roy
that.
Roy Miller's playing his tail Miller. Off. He's not going to put up the numbers. Neither is Red Bryant. That's not the nature of what they
that's
do.
That's right. They're playing great. And Ryan Davis stepping in today with two sacks.
Thought he was awesome today.
Really good today. And he's going to have to be really good with Branch out for at least 6 weeks. Stepped up in a huge way today.
I didn't think you noticed. You know, certainly in the first half, they were rolling downhill so much. Three and out, three and out, three and out. It was tough to tell how well the defense was playing or certain aspects of it because Miami had no chance to catch their breath. That's how good the pass rush was, the pressure. Even if it didn't result in sacks, it resulted in Ryan Tannehill not being comfortable back there. So, yeah, a lot of kudos goes to the defensive line. Let's go to Sherry in St. Augustine next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Sherry.
Yes, hi. There was a play in the game today that I did not understand. They called a Miami player out, and then they called him in, and coaches were argued on the sideline with a ref, and the ref walked away laughing, and I just didn't understand how that play got reversed.
Well, she's talking about the play to Wallace. They
right.
got the knee in on, at least on the TV view of it. It was originally one referee right by it, called it incomplete, it looked like, and then another official from across the field overruled that and called it a catch. But I think the argument for Gus, and we'll have to hear from him tomorrow, especially what it was exactly, was that how can one official way away from the play overrule a guy that's right in front of it? And if it's an incomplete pass, the challenge might have come from the other side if there was a challenge and all this. That might have been the argument. That's the only thing I can think of.
Right, because clearly he got the word. He had the challenge flag in his hand. And he was about to throw it, and you could see him put it back in. He's getting the word from upstairs, no. Bottom line is the refs got the call right. All right, so it's tough to argue in that situation.
Because had they called it incomplete and it had been challenged by the other side, it would have been a completed pass anyway. They would have
correct.
Changed, overturned it then.
Because, look, what it is I think the first referee saw that he only got 1 foot down before he went out of bounds, but he didn't realize his knee was down with possession of the ball. And the knee is the same as having 2 feet. An elbow is the same as having 2 feet. Your forearm, any body part other than your hand counts as possession of having 2 feet down in bounds, and that's what ultimately why it was overruled, because he had his knee down. It was a good call by the refs.
Scoreboard Show rolls along. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. When we return, more of your calls. We'll also talk Firehouse Subs. Everybody's going to eat this week. That's good news. The bad news today, though, the Jags fall to the Dolphins 27-13. More after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Final score 27-13. Dolphins are now 4-3. Jags are 1-7. For the week 8 loss to the Dolphins here at Everbank Field. Field goals for Firehouse. When the Jags kick a 40-plus yard field goal, you'll get a free medium Firehouse sub with your chip and drink purchase. Register at jaguars.com/firehousesubs. And with all the woes in the kicking game these days. Everybody's eating a free sub this week because Josh Scobie hit from 40 yards with 7:55 to play in the third quarter. And so there you go.
If the glass is half full of Firehouse subs today, thanks to Josh Scobie. He made it difficult. He made him work for it.
There were a couple other chances, but for one reason or another, they didn't go through or were overturned or this or that. But a 40-yarder is good for Firehouse subs today. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. And, boy, it's a mixed bag today, Mike. Everybody's disappointed, obviously. Should be.
Yeah, acknowledging the good play of the defense. We haven't heard much talk about the running game, but I think people are satisfied. It's there that Denard Robinson has been a fine now. And honestly, JP, I mean, you know, really, go back to the first month of the season. I had people calling in all week long saying, you know, did they blow it with this guy? Just another wasted pick, you know, just so patience is something you're going to have with this team. You can choose not to, but if you want to wait for the good stuff, you're going to have to be patient with some of these guys to blossom. I haven't seen much from Marquise Lee yet. Doesn't mean he can't come on, you know, over the next 8 games of this season or even early in his second year, much like Denard Robinson's doing right now. Takes these guys a while.
Yeah, especially rookie receivers. You know, this is very abnormal for receivers to be, you know, this good this early. Their rookie year, Hearns, Robinson, not that it's a bad thing. It's a great thing, but it doesn't happen all the time, and it takes time for guys to get going, and receivers especially.
And a lot of times when it happens, they've got an established number one type on the other side to draw consistent double coverage. The Jags don't have that right now, so they're swimming upstream a little bit on that. Let's go to Mandarin and talk with Ty next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Ty.
Oh, he's gone. That's
Kevin in McClenny online too. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
I think Marquise Lee he's got the potential. He is fast and he's quick. When there was that pass interference, he was so quick he got the deflection and actually got the first down. But my question is, Mercedes Lewis, when's he coming back?
Well, Mercedes is due back after the bye. That's when he is eligible to be back. Everything's on track with him. Talked with him this week in the locker room, and everything's positive with Mercedes. Something that would help this – well, the run game's doing well now, but it really do well with an extra blocker in the end and a veteran guy in the passing game maybe. And
veteran guy to protect guy in your quarterback.
If you finally get to the red zone, throw it up in the corner and see what happens to him. That's opened some options. So after the bye week, from what I understand, is when he'll be – ready to go.
So that's more Cincinnati, Dallas, the bye. You still got a month to wait.
A few weeks.
Know, so let's go to Dan in Fleming Island. Ty, Kevin, thank you for the call. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Hey, guys. I had been going to the games. I had season tickets for many years. But the in-game experience, not really the losing, it wasn't worth it to me. I'd just rather sit home and watch it. Well, I went for the first time today, and it's night and day from what it used to be. Not only the scoreboards, but the sound system. And you just feel the intensity in the crowd. When this team does start playing together and isn't so young as it is now, it's going to be a fun place to be at here when this team starts getting going.
If it's fun right now when the team's 1-7, and yeah, you're right. Just imagine when they turn that record around. It's 7-1 and competing for division championships and this and that. Scoreboards are in, sound systems there. It's the pools are going. They weren't today, but it is a whole different world. You're right.
I think fans recognize there are building blocks here, you know, for this team, and the defense is keeping you competitive now. So every game you don't show up and say, "Wow, we can't get in these games at home." They're in the games at home. They've got to find a way to put more points on the board. But you know, what do we have? 65,000 today, under the Pittsburgh turnout. So. Yeah. Good atmosphere, good number showing up.
And I think that'll probably happen the rest of the year. We'll see what happens on the road next week and in London. And everybody's positive about that, I believe. So it's a while away before the next home game here at Everbank Field, though, November 30th.
No doubt.
That's what happens when London goes on the schedule.
Nice
sometimes
to get a couple wins to whet your appetite in the next few weeks.
See, I'm gonna get to you yet before the show's
is that right?
over. Yeah, that's right. 355-NFL-1. More of your calls coming up, 355-6351. Scoreboard Show continues Miami 27, Jacksonville 13 in Week 8. We'll wrap it up after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Final segment of the Scoreboard Show after the Jags fall to the Dolphins 27-13. It's the Scoreboard Show for a reason. We look at scores from around the National Football League. The 4 o'clock games are almost all at halftime. Eagles-Cardinals tied at 7-2, 5-1 teams there. Foles, 222 yards passing in the first half and a touchdown for the Eagles. McCoy not doing much on the ground, 7 carries, 36 yards. Macklin has that touchdown reception and 93 yards. Halftime in Cleveland, the Browns over the Raiders. Barnburner here, 9-6. The Browns over Oakland today. Hoyer, 9 of 15 passing, 146 yards. Not much going on the ground for the for really either side in this ball game today. And really the surprise, I think, of the day, at least so far in this second time slot, Steelers 35, Colts 17. Steelers 4-3, Colts 5-2, had won 5 straight. You know, and the way the Steelers have been playing and the way the Colts have been playing, you would have thought this might have been flip-flop, but the Steelers at home in front big.
You thought Tom Brady had a day. I think he had 354 and 5 touchdowns. Roethlisberger's got 320 and 4. They're almost at halftime.
Yeah, not quite
there. They're almost at halftime. So, yeah, putting some points up on the board this afternoon. Here the number, again, 355-NFL-1. If you don't get in today on the Scoreboard Show, stick around for the fifth quarter.
Oh, yeah.
Can't beat it. Mm-mm. Hacker and T-Wig coming to you for the next couple of hours right here.
What a lineup.
Letting you sound off, glass half full, glass half empty, glass whatever. Whatever, wherever you are on the Jacksonville Jaguars. There are the positives. There are the glaring negatives. The biggest one being the 1-7 record so far. All right, let's go to Derek in Trout River. Hi, Derek. How are you?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, thanks.
Okay. Hey, and I just want to give a good shout out to the defense, man. They really keep people on it. You know what I'm saying? They keep us in the game. I'm just saying, Bortles just messing up, man. But I just want people to stick with this guy, man. We need to build on, get him a strong offensive line, man, because he can't depend on Luke Choker, man. Ain't nothing like having a Tony Pacelli on the line, man. You know what I'm saying? And I just want to say, if we had to go for a player in the draft, what player you think we got to go get? You know what I'm saying?
Not going there.
Boy, here we go.
Not going there, Derek.
It's October 26th. Yes, the Jags are 1-7 now, but let it play out a little more before we start talking that D word.
You don't know what's going to develop, truly, over the last 8 games.
You don't know.
3 weeks ago, would you have said we may have the running back of the future on this roster, right? It didn't look that way.
No.
You couldn't run at all, so now you've got Denard Robinson, and maybe you feel like, all right, get a complimentary guy. Maybe Toby Gerhardt over the second half of the season. Gets his legs under him, becomes that guy. Hasn't given you much so far this year. But so much can change between now and then. It's really pointless to go in that direction. As far as sticking with Blake and giving him a shot, I think everybody realized they've seen enough glimpses of this guy. They see the things he does well. The eye level, keeping his eyes downfield. You know, always looking to throw when he moves his feet and escapes the pocket. You know, today I think he got caught up a little bit in no man's land a couple of times on that, JP. You can almost go a little bit too far with that. He threw the one very dangerous pass to Cecil Shorts where he's running towards the line of scrimmage. All of a sudden at the last second, he whips it out to the side. He threw a couple of those today, one at the end of the first half that they were detailing on the broadcast. How do you throw that ball to Allen Robinson? Because you throw it a yard or so inside, that could be a pick six, and ultimately it's a reception. And you're going to let the clock run out anyway. So in that point, if it's, again, cutting down those high degree of difficulty plays, avoiding some of those for Blake Bortles, it's only going to come with time, man. And look, clearly the team's going to stick with him. I think when Derek's talking there, he's talking about the fan base. But, you know, there's no question who the guy is, and he'll continue to grow. And the only way he'll continue to grow is to continue to be allowed the freedom to make mistakes.
Yeah, you're right. I have nothing to add to that. Except that JTA does offer stadium shuttle service to all Jaguars home games, but they also have single-game passes available for the Tax Slayer Bowl and the Florida-Georgia game this coming weekend. For more information, visit jtafla.com or call 904-630-3100. What else we got tonight, Mike? Any others? We did? What do we got?
Tonight?
Miss anything? Yeah. On the, are we done with the calls?
No, the calls. We're done with the calls. Okay. They can stick around for the fifth quarter by calling 641-1010 or 904-641-1010 here in Jacksonville. I mean, you know, we can run down the good and the bad of it if you'd like.
Well, we can. Let me get to this injury report first, presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. Luke Jokel, head injury. Not sure the real status of that. Left the game early. And we'll find out more tomorrow from head coach Gus Bradley. That'll be a protocol situation where he has to meet certain guidelines moving forward. That's really the only true major injury.
I didn't feel the offensive line was really bad today. I know that Blake Bortles got sacked four times. You know, one time, for instance, he's got a safety that is unblocked. Okay, and I talked to Jeff Loggeman about this about a week ago, about, you know, identifying the Mike linebacker and identifying who has which defensive player in terms of responsibilities and picking them up. And as a quarterback goes along, he needs to be able to identify, well, if this guy's coming, there's no one to block him. And that was one of those situations where I wonder, as a young quarterback, was he able to identify that quick enough? And then you've got to find, know who your hot read is. That guy's got to adjust his route sometimes. These are all things that are very difficult for young guys, many of which are playing their first NFL season, a halfway into it, to be able to do this on the fly and just have it be instantaneous. So I think Blake would probably tell you, and I think the film would probably back it up, that, you know, some of these sacks are on him a little bit. But overall, I thought the line, I didn't get the feeling like, wow, they're just getting whipped today. Again, got good push in the running game. So, you know, when he says he needs an upgrade from Luke Jokel, well, I don't feel like Luke, over this, particularly the last couple of weeks, is playing bad football. Hey, the guy got a concussion today. Or so it appears. I mean, that can happen to anybody in the National Football League.
That'll do it for the Scoreboard Show tonight. We appreciate your calls. Our thanks to Linda Fortunato for fielding those calls tonight. Tony Smith, for Mike Dempsey and everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. Mike, we'll see you next week for the pregame at Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati.
I look forward to it.
We'll be on the road next week with the Jaguars for the entire three-hour pregame show. The fifth quarter show is next. T-Wig and Hacker are standing by. That's it for tonight on Jaguars Radio.